Hello and welcome to episode 80 of the Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. My name is Ben.
And I'm Derek. And that's it. It's just us this week.
We're recording at a weird time because Apple did something.
We're talking a bunch this week only about WWDC and what Apple talked about.
They announced six things. Number one, about tvOS, two, watchOS, three, macOS, four, iOS, five, iPad, and six, this weird HomePod thing.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to talk about. Without further ado, let's get started. Okay, here we go. Number one. First up, tvOS. And really, the only thing they said was Amazon Prime Video is coming to the Apple TV.
Yep, that is the only thing they said. And
that was a whole thing.
Probably worth the announcement for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, I think it's awesome. I'm excited about it.
Yeah. I don't have Amazon Prime Video, but I regularly have to put that in as a qualifier for people if they're looking for a streaming box. So it's nice that I just don't have to do that anymore. Like, yes, yeah, you can get everything you want on Apple TV.
We have it, and we've been using it a lot because we've been watching 24 from the very beginning. Shout out to Jack Bauer. And
he listens to
it. It is awesome. And if you have not seen it, you should check it out.
All right.
And now we can watch it on our Apple TV, which is great.
Sweet.
We've had to use our crappy Samsung Smart TV. And I say crappy because the TV is great, but the apps are horrible, as anyone who has a Smart TV probably knows. So anyway, Apple TV, Amazon Prime Video. Pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm. And friend of the show, Jack Bauer.
And friend of the show, Jack Bauer. Thank you so much, Derek, for keeping me honest on that one.
You're welcome.
Next up, watchOS. I don't have an Apple Watch. What did you think, Derek?
I have a watch, and I love my watch, and there was really nothing in watchOS 4 that was interesting to me. So,
but you can get Woody and Buzz and that other gal whose name I don't remember.
Jessie, and I could not possibly care less about that.
So, yeah.
Just give me customizable watch faces. Like, give me like the ability for developers to create their own watch faces.
Yeah, that would be nice.
And I'll be happy.
That would be really nice. I mean, I just don't have much to say on the whole watch thing because I don't have one. My wife does, but even if I did have one, it didn't seem all that exciting to me. Is that how you felt having had one?
Yeah, the updates were really nothing. I mean, I don't use workouts, so there were some workouts features that were announced to be better. There's like, the one interesting thing that I caught in the presentation was that there's NFC enabled data sharing, like between workout machines now, which is the first. Right. NFC, other application for NFC that Apple has used aside from payments.
And they said that it will work with 80% of gym equipments in the world or US. I don't remember if it was world or US, but that's pretty interesting.
Or the manufacturers. So like manufacturers will be building that into their stuff.
Oh, okay. I very much misquoted that then because I misunderstood it. It didn't seem altogether clear, but
yeah.
Anyway, so that's watchOS. Not all that spectacular. Mm-hmm. The next thing they did, number three, was macOS, which got a 0.5 update, High Sierra.
It wasn't really a 0.5 update.
Yeah, it wasn't really a 0.5 update, but it did feel a lot like one,
yeah,
in my opinion.
So the deal with High Sierra is those of you who have been Mac users for a while are familiar with like Snow Leopard and Mountain Lion. It is it's like a refinement update to the OS. So like working in the background, like recoding things to make things go faster and more reliable and blah, 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 blah. So, I mean, I'm sure it'll be nice. There's there is actually a bunch of like back end stuff, like as far as so APFS will be the new file system will be in this one. So, which I understand is better for solid state drives and things like that. There's also support for VR stuff, and Metal 2 would be involved in that. There was actually, and in this whole announcement, they talked about new Macs as well. Were you excited about any of that at all?
Not really, only because I probably wouldn't get one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Hardware updates are great, and usually each year things get cheaper and faster and longer battery life mm-hmm. typically, which I think happened again this year. It's always incremental. But that's always good. I probably won't get one because I have been given a Mac for work, which I just use for everything. So, and it's like a year old, so I wouldn't get a new one anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
Would you?
Yeah, well, I am. Our sound guys in our sound booth computer is aging a bunch. Like they've been wanting a new computer for a while, and since I'm the tech guy at church, I'm kind of in control of that. So now I can buy them a brand spanking new 4K iMac.
Are you going to get the new $5,000 iMac Pro?
Okay, this machine is awesome and I want one, but I could never possibly ever use it, ever.
Yeah, let me just refinance my mortgage and try to pay for it.
Well, this is typically how Mac Pro pricing works, but the interesting thing is...
Do you think they'll let me get a 30-year loan on that, or... I mean, I'm kind of being facetious. I don't know that it... I think it probably is a little overpriced because all things Apple always are.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I know you're getting a significant amount of power in the machine for yeah. that price. So it's not like it's totally unheard of. And it's also not for, like, users like me. This is for designers and creatives and people who need the power. People like, if you're editing 4K video or something, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And just what you need. But
and they did say in the keynote that like a comparably spec'd machine would cost around $7,000.
Yeah, they also did that with the thing that we're going to talk about last, number 6, which I won't spoil right now. But I feel skeptical of their odd price comparison thing during keynotes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, which is such not an Apple thing to do.
On a side note, I have been calling the iMac Pro the Apology Pro.
Yeah. I get you. That's funny.
Which is, and the interesting thing about the iMac Pro is that this is not what, so Apple had like a little roundtable discussion with some like, with some tech journalists, John Gruber and others, about the Mac Pro. And they mentioned that there is a product coming for iMac, like in the iMac line for pros, as well as now they're also working on another Mac Pro. So this is not the forecasted Mac Pro.
Right.
So I can't possibly imagine what they're like going to be
power
making
in
for
that
the,
one.
Yeah, for the Mac Pro.
And the cost.
Yeah, right, right.
But yeah. Speaking of tech journalists, right? One of the macOS High Sierra updates included intelligent tracking prevention, which I think is really going to peeve some journalists probably who want to sell ads and feed their families.
Mm.
But I guess we'll find out.
It's trackers. It's not ads. Like, you can have ads that are not maliciously tracking. So, that's...
Yeah, that's fair. But I'm thinking of the big, not to name names, Google, Facebook, Amazon, who sell all my history type stuff.
Yeah,
and
right.
then I get ads for those things elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
I'm imagining this sort of intelligent tracking prevention cutting down on that. Because that was kind of the example he gave in the keynote, but mm-hmm. I guess we'll see. They didn't really describe what it is or how it works. But
I listened to the talk show with John Gruber, the live talk show where he usually has, like, for the past 2 years he's had Phil Schiller. Last year he also had Craig Federighi. This year he also had Phil Schiller and Craig Federighi, and they talked a little bit about that tracking, and it's all like technological. Speak that I don't quite
jargon.
Understand, but
yeah.
It sounds really cool. It sounds effective. So
yeah, and then the other big update in Safari was that I thought was interesting was the muting of the autoplay. They had the last year they did the hey you have noise in the background, do you want to mute it? And they would show you which tab it was coming from, which was cool. But this one is like automatically mute autoplay by a setting if you want to. You want to move on to iOS 11?
Yeah, sure.
All right, number 4, iOS 11, the iPhone updates, well, sort of iPhone, iOS updates. They mm-hmm. said nothing about the new phone, which we expect to hear about, I guess, in September, in the September event.
Yeah, that's always a September thing.
Yeah, strictly software. I'll just call out a couple of things that seemed interesting to me. Messages sync across all devices.
Oh, yeah.
Huge help there. I don't like that the delete syncs, though, because I kind of use that to my advantage. Because some conversations are better with a keyboard, and some aren't, and some I don't need it. So I might delete something from my phone that I want to show up on my Mac. Anyway, Apple Pay peer-to-peer. What'd you think about that, Derek?
Apple Pay peer-to-peer. This is, I mean, sure. Great. I mean, I use cash all the time. This is going to be a, it's not really going to be more of a convenience or less of a convenience. It'll be like,
interesting. I use Venmo to pay friends all the time, and I will delete Venmo as soon as this comes out.
It is an interesting bank move, though, honestly. Like, this is, like, getting close to, like, Apple can just manage your money for you.
Right. Yeah, that was interesting. I don't know why. So, what he's referring to, for anybody who doesn't know, is when you get Apple Paid by someone, it goes on sort of an Apple Pay gift card. And you can transfer it to your bank, very similar to Venmo, if you're familiar with that. Mm-hmm. But it goes into sort of an Apple Pay gift card that you can transfer to your bank or pay with other things for. Mm-hmm. And so, Apple is sort of now in this place where they're managing or holding, at least temporarily, people's money. And I'm sure that's not how it works behind the scenes. Maybe it is. I don't know. But it does sort of turn into an Apple Pay bank, which is kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what they'll do with that down the road?
Yeah.
Siri translation. That was pretty neat.
That was pretty cool.
He was like, say this in Chinese. And then she said it in Chinese. And he was like, yeah, that's what it is. What's up?
Now I need to go travel to other countries to use this grand feature.
And other planets, like in Star Trek.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where they have the... yeah? No? Okay. Well,
I don't know Star Trek.
Okay. Well, never mind.
That's okay.
New control center layout, which is awesome. I hate swiping twice over to get to my home kit things. And then even once over to get to my music. Seems really silly. I don't know who designed that in the first place, but I'm really glad they're fixing that.
Yeah. I'm so psyched about the new control center because it is customizable, baby. You can put whatever you want to basically in there and take whatever you don't use out. And it's just, it's very nice looking too.
It does seem like they're doubling down on 3D touch or force touch. I honestly don't remember which one it's called because it's 3D called touch. So many things.
It's 3D okay, touch on the phone, force touch on the Mac.
Because that makes sense. Anyway, I love that. I don't love it, actually. I just noticed that they are doubling down on it. It's like you can 3D touch, which those are different, 3D touch into control center and get more options.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, man, what's it going to be like with people who don't have that in a few years, you know?
Well, you can do that now in iOS 10. They have three D touch options.
Yeah,
in the
it's confusing.
Now.
The marketing is not helpful here.
Yeah, it's not great. But they don't do the same thing, so you got to keep it separate. But
yeah, that's
anyway,
fair.
That's cool. Do not disturb while driving.
Yeah, I'm pumped about this because I need this because I am the least disciplined person I know when it comes to this, and I do not want to be tempted toward it, and so I'll totally use it.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is as soon as your car's in motion, it somehow knows, or if you connect to Bluetooth on your car, it somehow knows and will turn your phone into this new mode. And then he was like, we even got this new UI for it, and it's just a blank iPhone screen.
That was a good
pretty
joke.
Funny.
I like that.
Yep. And then finally all the AR kit stuff, which I honestly think is kind of just gimmicky. Like, oh, AR's the thing. We need to get into AR. So let's sort of make this possible. A little bit like HomeKit was, maybe even more gimmicky than HomeKit was, because they're not like actually doing anything from an Apple perspective, similar to HomeKit. They're just sort of opening up this developer land where people can create things on their platform.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It doesn't really feel like Apple's throwing their weight behind VR, AR. They're just sort of enabling it so they can check a box, is what it felt like to me. What did you think about that, Derek?
I will say that I think this is actually an incredibly impressive feat that they have made. Now, I don't really know what the standards are on Android or other like or Windows or anything like that. But I've been following. There's this developer guy who tends to like get into the code after any WWDC announcement and be like, hey, here's a secret thing that they didn't announce that is probably going to be in the new iPhone type of thing. I don't know. He finds all these interesting things. But I saw a retweet or something that the AR estimation of how big like a table is there's like 0.3%. It, like the accuracy is like 0.3%. 3% of what the actual table size is. Like, it's incredibly insanely accurate for just an iPhone camera. So I think this is, I mean, developers are probably going to go crazy with this because now they don't have to put in the work to try to create an AR platform in their app. They can use Apple's, which is apparently really good. So I don't know. This is going to be interesting to watch, I think.
Maybe we'll have a slap bet over that one as well.
All right.
But not to spoil the sixth announcement yet.
Let us take a break, a quick break for a sponsor, and then we'll come right back to the iPad. Our sponsor this week is Missionalware, your Reformed theology gift shop. If you have not gotten your father a Father's Day gift yet, and you're scrambling around trying to find something, you might want to check out Missionalware. Now, it is, you know, it's getting late on in time before Father's Day gets here, because it's next week. So they might not get it shipped to you right away, but you can always, like, print off a picture of a beautiful, you know, beer glass with the five solas, or, you know, quotes from Spurgeon or things like that. And, you know, put it in a nice little gift card and, you know, give it to them. Say, hey, this is coming. This is coming. It's going to be great. Because the gifts that Missionalware has on their store are fantastic. They have a variety of stuff. They've got hats, t-shirts, journals, like beer glasses, insulated tumblers. They've got like Yeti tumblers now, really high quality stuff. They've got posters, all kinds of things. They've been doing their thing for over 6 years. They've grown an impressive library. Just go on the website, missionalware.com. Check it all out. They will appeal to any theologian, whether you're just now getting into it or whether you've been an enthusiast about theology for years. So check them out at missionalware.com to get your lifestyle on mission to the glory of God. And thanks to them for sponsoring Tech Reformation.
And the fifth announcement from WWDC was about the iPad. There's a 10.5-inch iPad and a new iPad Pro. I guess those are the same thing. Oh, you look like you're really interested in this.
I'm so happy about this. Okay. I'm so incredibly happy about this. This is going to be so great. Okay, so Apple announced the 10.5-inch iPad Pro, which is obviously bigger than the 9.7. Bezels are thinner. It's also a new 12.9-inch iPad Pro as well, and now they've all got feature parity. So those of you who are looking at the iPad Pros before, and like one iPad had a feature that the other one didn't have, and the other one didn't have a feature that the other one...
Super confusing.
Yeah, it was super confusing. Now they're all the same, basically, except for size-wise.
But now there's a total of 4 screen sizes? Is that correct?
Yeah, of course the iPad mini may be phased out at some point because it just seems that Apple's not interested in that anymore. So now the 9.7-inch iPad is just the iPad. So that's a nice differentiator. And now the iPad Pros are just 10.5-inch and 12.9.
Interesting.
Now, that's not the most interesting thing, though. The most interesting thing is the insane updates that they gave to multitasking and file management on the iPad.
I called it Mac meets iPad because that's what it is. It's literally, and we knew this was coming. For years, we knew this was coming. You don't like it?
No, it's not Mac meets iPad. It's not Mac meets iPad. This is not the Mac on the iPad. This is taking
It's as close as you could possibly be without them being the same operating system.
No, I highly disagree. Drag and drop is very different. They took metaphors from macOS and implemented them on the iPad in a way that is iPad-y. Like,
nope,
so there's
I totally
a difference.
Disagree with you.
It's a difference between. It's,
I mean, I agree with what you're saying. Yes. I just think that is exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
That, like, the changes they've made, the sweeping UI changes to the iPad, make it feel like it's its own computer now. And they even called out, like, hey, it's big enough for a keyboard now. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're basically just replacing. It's almost like a
Surface.
They
did that for the 12.9 inch though, too.
Sure. Yeah, I guess that's true. I don't know. The things I thought of were the dock is now you can fit as many apps in it as you want. Very Mac-esque. Multitasking, drag and drop of the apps. Having, you know, obviously the multitasking with the app overlay thing. And then the file system. They added files to the iPad. It's like, how much more like a full computer could you possibly get without it actually being a Mac?
It's not as much file system as I'd want. There's some I think we'll see some things that we're not terribly happy that the Files app, like the Files app doesn't deliver everything that we want as far as file system goes. But I mean, and granted, it's not the actual file system. Like you can't get into like the file system like you can in the Finder on the Mac. It's still like there's a wall there somewhere. But you can manage files very easily now with the new Files app, which is fantastic. And yeah, all sorts of fun stuff.
I think the last thing that stuck out to me on the iPad front was markup. They had like a kind of a whole section on this, which it looks really awesome. And they mentioned inline drawings in notes and handwriting in notes that is now searchable, which is really cool. And apparently that's because of this thing called machine learning. No one knows what that is, but it's just a nice buzzword for the marketers. And so it's like, if you want to say that the computer is doing something cool, you just call it machine learning.
Yep.
There's a really great XKCD comic on that that David McCookie posted in the Slack during the keynote.
I'll have to put it in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll have to put it in the show notes because it describes what machine learning actually is for us plebes who don't know. And gosh, it's so funny. But anyway, we'll just call it machine learning. So the iPad got machine learning and markup is pretty neat. I will say, even after all that back and forth, that I did feel after the keynote or during after that part of the keynote that now it actually makes sense to have an iPad because of just the way that they've changed the UI. It really serves a separate purpose now. And I could see it being very useful for some of the reasons we've talked about and others that we didn't have time for.
I'm going to be petitioning my manager at work to get me a new iPad for work so that I can actually do more work on the iPad because they have like, they only have iPad Airs or the newest ones that they have in the company and they are slow at this point and they don't have any multitasking features, not even split screen. So I want a new 10.5 inch iPad. We'll see how that goes.
And finally, the number 6 announcement, the big one more thing sort of announcement, mm-hmm. even though they didn't say one more thing. HomePod.
Yes, so...
Which is a terrible name. Can we just agree that that's a horrible name?
Okay, yeah. Between High Sierra and HomePod, they both sound really dumb. Now, HomePod has
And they were naming everything. Intelligent Tracking Prevention, ProMotion.
ProMotion isn't bad.
Okay, you get a promotion, Derek, and I'll take a promotion for myself as well.
Now,
like, what? It's so weird. They just named everything for marketers.
Well, so HomePod actually makes some sense logically. It just sounds like every time Phil Schiller was saying it on stage, I felt like he was saying "oompa," which was really funny. I'll get used to it in 3 weeks' time, and we won't think anything of it, just like we did with iPad. So.
So let's do this. Are you going to buy a HomePod, Derek?
Oh no, no, I can't justify like spending money on a speaker plus. You distracted me from talking about our slap bet. Do we want to talk about our slap bet first?
No. Because we're going to disagree about who won the slap bet, and I think we all know it was me.
Okay. Well, let's get through this first, and then we'll talk about the slap bet.
Okay, Derek and I had a slap bet over this last announcement because all the rumors were that there was going to be a Siri speaker at this event. And mm-hmm. I said, there will not be a Siri speaker. I will slap bet you. And Derek agreed, which means if there were a Siri speaker at this event, then he would get to slap me in the face as hard as he wants. And if there were not a Siri speaker at this event, then I would get to slap Derek as hard as I want in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, unfortunately, we put ourselves in a horrible position where we don't have a slap bet commissioner who could make this call for us objectively.
We should
because it was.
We should agree on like we should just pick like Craig or Tank to be our slap bet commissioner. Probably Craig because he cares more about Apple things.
I feel like Tank because he can be more objective.
Maybe. So to adjudicate this, but so anyway, so my thought would be that so HomePod is basically kind of Apple's answer to Echo and the Google Home, but its focus is on the speaker part because they really, you know, emphasize like having good speakers on this thing so you can listen to music and you know, really enjoy that part of it. And they also put Siri on. So the story was, this is great for your home because it plays music, but it also has Siri on it, so you can control it with your voice.
Okay. And in my defense, I hear what you're saying. Here's how you could have won the bet wholeheartedly, I would agree with you. If they would have said, okay, number six announcement, hey Siri, and then the thing lit up, right? Sorry for everyone's phone who just lit up. But if the thing came on the screen and it was like, here's the HomePod, and it's like your Siri voice activated speaker thing. But they didn't do that. They didn't even mention Siri until like 5 or 10 minutes into the talking about the dang thing and how great of a speaker it was. It was like, oh, and by the way, you can control it with your voice because of this common phrase that we use that talks to Siri. And it was like an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I even mentioned to you, like, they're halfway through this thing, and I'm like, they've not mentioned Siri once yet. I think I won the bet. And that's my justification.
I knew. So here's the deal. So we all know Siri is not as well respected as perhaps Google's assistant or Amazon's Alexa. And
okay, Google.
Yeah, we're just gonna activate everyone's stuff.
Mine came on.
She just turned yours on. Sorry to everyone. I'm not doing much bleeping this week because I don't have a whole lot of time.
Alexa.
Okay, stop.
Okay, I'm done. Sorry.
So they couldn't advertise this based on Siri's capabilities. And I think they knew that. Plus, they didn't announce any kind of developer kit at all. So they knew they could win on the speaker front. So that's what they positioned it as. But who would create this without having an intelligent assistant on it, right? That, like, so they had to make the story of it being, you know, a music player for your home.
But to me, I think the more compelling explanation of what just happened, similar to how I described VR and AR, Apple sees that there's this new category of thing that was created by Amazon Alexa or Amazon Echo or whatever it's called. And then Google jumped on board, and now Apple has to jump on board so they don't lose this new segment of the market that Amazon's created. And so it's like, okay, well, we don't want to admit that they had a better idea than us and we're super late to the game. So we'll just market it as this really nice sounding speaker, and we'll talk a whole bunch about how all of those speakers sound terrible. And by the way, the Google Home speaker does not sound bad. I'm sure the HomePod will sound better, but it doesn't sound bad. And then, like, with the Echo Dot, no one's trying to make it sound like a great speaker. That's the whole point. That's why it's $50. And I don't have an Alexa Tower or an Echo Tower, so I can't speak to that. But yeah, it was sort of like a position of, we're going to target Sonos and Amazon Echo at the same time, and that's why we can justify this $350 price tag, which in my mind is just insane.
Plus,
I'm sure people will buy them by the boatloads, but it just makes me mad that people would. Because this is another classic Apple, like, we're going to make this thing that everyone's already made before us. We're late to the game, and we're going to charge more for it, and it's going to sell like hotcakes.
Yeah. So what?
And it's just because we're Apple.
Let me go back to your explanation of, like, Apple's logic of bringing this to the market. So you're saying they had to bring a speaker with an intelligent assistant out on the market so they didn't lose the segment to Google. Is what you're saying. So the purpose of this is Siri.
And by the way,
really,
Echo controls the market.
Right, yeah, Echo. Right, that's what I mean. Every, like, those two.
Oh no, I just realized what you're doing.
Yep. I think I won the slap bet. I'm pretty sure I did. You all could. You know what? I didn't put a Twitter poll out when I threatened to last time, but I am gonna put a Twitter poll out this week. So.
Well. Oh, great. All right.
Yep.
Here's the deal, listeners. I'm going to respect the Twitter poll, but I need you all to honestly evaluate our arguments and search your heart, pray, ask the Lord for discernment and wisdom, and then cast your vote. Don't just vote because you want to see me get slapped in the face. Please. I could understand why you might want that, but please try to be objective here, and also, we will respect the results of the Twitter poll, and I will slap Derek in the face.
Yes. Also remember that we live
you
in...
You said yes!
Huh?
I ended that with, and I will slap Derek in the face soon, and you said yes.
Oh. Okay, that's not what I meant. That's good.
So in the same way, it seems like subconsciously you think that you lost.
Anyway, also remember, listeners, that we are in different states, so you won't get, like, immediate gratification on this one, although whenever we do meet in person for the first time, this will probably be filmed.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So, you know.
I'll agree to that, no matter who wins.
Yeah, exactly.
I will tell you, though, Derek, I've got quite a record. I am 3-for-4 out of slap bets. This is not a joke. I have made 4 slap bets in my life, and I've won 3 of them. I got a 75% success rate, which is pretty good for slap bets.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, the one where I got slapped really hurt.
Too bad now you only have a 60% success rate.
Okay, listen here, man. We will find out soon. So if you want to jump in that whole mess of thing about the slap bet, follow us on Twitter at Tech Reformation, and you'll see the Twitter poll there by the time this goes out.
Mm-hmm. So we have a couple of last things we wanted to talk about quick before we head out. Ben.
Well, I mentioned the machine learning thing, and the XKCD comic is really funny. And I really do. It's kind of like we talked about the Amazon store video, you know, where it was like deep vision, computer sensors.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all that stuff.
So
it's I think it's the same sort of, yeah, syndrome. Anyway, so that kind of stuck out to me the whole time. I also think that Apple kind of has lost their way. Forbes put out an article that I'm not going to link to for certain reasons, which you can ask me about later if you want. But basically, it was like Apple's doesn't have a vision anymore, and I think it's true. They're just kind of reacting to what the market's doing, as far as I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't feel like there was really one story that was compelling and exciting and visionary in the sense of the way things have been with Apple. Now, it's been so long now since they've done things like iTunes and iPod and iPhone and stuff like that, that now they have to meet their own standard of these like market-changing, radically new technology type of things, and they're just not doing it. It's also interesting that, you know, iPhone makes up like 66% of their revenue, and we didn't really hear a whole lot about it. Again, maybe that's because we're going to hear about it in September, I wouldn't even be surprised at this point if it was just a, hey, here's the iPhone 7S and the 7S Plus, instead of like a big 10th anniversary thing. But we'll see. I'm hoping they prove me wrong on that one.
I would just like to say that actually this keynote has restored some of my faith in Apple.
Oh, gosh.
That's funny. Which is really amusing because I came out of the Apple being like, yeah, pumped. Let's do this. Let's get myself an iPad. Let's do some like VR stuff on a Mac. Like, this is awesome. And you came out with a very different impression, which is just incredibly interesting.
Well, yeah. I think it's just like, you know, I watch these things every year. And the language is always the same, right? It's always like, oh, we're changing the world together. We're really making it. And when you start putting them next to each other every single time, it's like things are not changing that much, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there certainly are things we can look back at. And I named a few of them where it's like, yeah, wow, that's really changed the way we live, you know, at a fundamental level. And that's kind of cool. There's obviously pros and cons that come with that. And we try to talk about both of those on this show. You know, but it's just kind of the way Sundar was talking about it that I mentioned last week. I just don't think we're really solving the world's deepest problems at that level, you know? And so maybe that's why I'm just a little jaded by all the strong language. But
oh, yeah.
The last thing I would just...
Being an Apple fanboy, you got to push out the strong language, because a lot of that, like, I recognize the marketing fluff for what it is, but I also really enjoy the meat of the stuff.
Yeah. It's still fun, and I'm still a nerd at heart, so it's always fun to watch a keynote. But the last thing I would just mention in passing is that they had a whole thing about how they've improved Siri's voice, you know? And so he did the, like, I really want you to hear this new voice we've been working on. And he says, how's the weather? And she says, it's going to be sunny, sunny, and sunny. And he says, you can see there's 3 ways to say the word sunny, which, like, yeah, that is really cool as far as computer speaking. And then they were like, and there's a male voice too. And they played this male voice. And I just immediately was like, oh, that's interesting that Siri respects the gender binary that everyone seems so happy to destroy and pretend doesn't exist.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it is interesting, and a little, there's always inconsistencies going on there. It is interesting
there hasn't been
like an what's it called? Not an amorphous, but like you can't quite tell if it's a male or a female voice. Like, you'd think they would have, like, thinking about, like, when you brought that up, like, man, yeah, nobody has come out with a voice that he could sound like a guy or a girl. Yeah, androgynous. Yep. That was the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, considering most of tech's worldview on this.
Well, yeah, it's just it's one of the most fundamental basic aspects of the world we live in. And like you mentioned, there are some inconsistencies there. And of course there are. There have to be, right? You can't consistently live in God's world and deny his existence and everything that he says is good, right, and beautiful about the world that he's created, mm-hmm. right? You just can't consistently do that. And so we keep trying to ignore and destroy the truths that are impossible to destroy and ignore. Mm-hmm. So just... something I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I guess we'll wrap up here our WWDC 2017 coverage. But I would just mention also, one of the things that made this keynote in particular so fun for me was the Slack team. We resurrected, Derek, you resurrected the hashtag Apple keynote channel. And we had a couple dozen people in there just chatting about what was being announced and giving feedback on that. And I thought it was a really great conversation.
Oh, yeah.
They made a lot of good points. I mentioned some of the things that have been posted there. And anybody who's listening to this now can get in there for free and jump in on the next one or in any of the other channels. Sign up at slack.techreformation.com.
And don't forget to check out our Twitter at Tech Reformation. And check out that Twitter poll that I will probably put out Monday morning Eastern Standard Time or Eastern Daylight.
And vote for me. And by that, I don't mean vote for me to get slapped in the face. Thank you very much.
And I will just let you all come to your own conclusions on this, for it is clear what the correct decision is.
So. Oh, you humble man.
Oh, man, this was fun.
Yeah, it was. This has been Tech Reformation. And we'll see you next week. And I ain't looking back. No, no, I ain't looking back. No, no, I ain't looking back. No, 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 I ain't looking back. I made my choice, and I ain't looking back. Hang on, let me let my wife pass so that. All right.
I haven't showered in 5 days.
She's very excited about her shower that she's about to take.